The park bench was deserted, and I sat down to read beneath the long, straggly branches of an old willow tree. Disillusioned by life, with good reason to frown, for the world was intent on dragging me down. And if that weren't enough to ruin my day, a young boy out of breath approached me, all tired from play. He stood right before me with his head tilted down and said with great excitement, "Look what I found." In his hand was a flower, and what a pitiful sight, with its petals all worn due to not enough rain or too little light. Wanting him to take his dead flower and go off to play, I faked a small smile and then shifted away. But instead of retreating, he sat next to my side and placed the flower to his nose and declared with overacted surprise, "It sure smells pretty, and it's beautiful too. That's why I picked it. Here, it's for you." The weed before me was dying or dead, not vibrant of colors, orange, yellow, or red. But I knew I must take it, or he might not leave. So I reached for the flower and replied, "Just what I need." But instead of placing the flower in my hand, he held it midair without reason or plan. It was then that I noticed for the very first time that this weed-toting boy could not see. He was blind. I heard my voice quiver, tears shone like the sun, and I thanked him for picking the very best one. "You're welcome," he smiled, and then ran off to play, unaware of the impact he had made on my day. I sat there and wondered how he managed to see a self-pitying woman beneath an old willow tree. How did he know my self-indulged plight? Perhaps from his heart, he'd been blessed with true sight. Through the eyes of a blind child, at last I could see the problem was not the world. The problem was me. And for all those times I myself had been blind, I vowed to see the beauty in life and appreciate every second that's mine. And then I held that withered flower up to my nose, breathing in the fragrance of a beautiful rose, and smiled as I watched that young boy, another weed in his hand, about to change the life of an unsuspecting old man. God loves a cheerful giver. It doesn't matter whether it's a weed-toting boy or somebody making their offering in the plate this Sunday or the gift of your heart or your life, whatever it might be, God loves a cheerful giver. And it's interesting in the gospel lesson today, as we heard it, we hear a very interesting thing from Jesus about the importance of giving and worldly wealth and true riches. And Jesus says something very interesting that's very true about life, isn't it? Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. Now, in my opening story today, it's obvious that the blind boy had been entrusted with very little, a weed of all things, that to him was the most beautiful thing that he could give to somebody. And in Jesus' parable, the little thing is worldly wealth. He says in our gospel today, if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches? I think the true riches are exemplified in my opening story today of the blind boy and the gift of weeds that he's sharing with others. The true riches that he's sharing is, it's not really about the weed, is it? It's about the joy. It's about the gratefulness with life. It's about making somebody else's day to the point that they're brought to tears. It's the gift of a blind boy actually enabling another person to be able to see their life again in a whole new way. It's about love, and it's about seeing things that really are the true riches of life, that really matter in life, that are the things that you and I will hold dear to our dying day. Faithfulness in the stewardship of our lives is probably one of the most important things that you and I will live out in our human existence. That's why at St. John's, once a year in the month of October, we take time to talk about stewardship because it's so important. And this month, we've talked about and reflected on the stewardship of our heart, time, talents, and then today, treasure. And it's interesting in our gospel lesson today that Jesus focuses in on treasure. And he talks about it in terms of also us being open to the true riches, which in Jesus' story are heavenly gifts. They are gifts of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. They are supernatural gifts that are talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles. Also gifts that are talked about in terms of gifts of administration and leadership. These are all gifts from God. One of the things that you and I need to realize is that that you as a human being are a gift from God. You may not realize it yet, but you are. And the invitation from the Lord is that we would share the gift of one another with each person that we would meet and be able to share the gifts that God has given us in such a way that it would be a blessing to them. And that would include our worldly wealth as well. And so this should change our perspective on worldly wealth. You know, the world, the way it views wealth is that the one with the most toys at the end wins, right? It's like a big Monopoly game. You try to collect as many properties as you can. You try to fill up your bank account as big as it can, as you can. Have as many cars as you can and all that kind of stuff. And the one with the most stuff at the end wins. But Jesus is sharing with us the Father's view of worldly wealth in the life of his beloved, in the life of you and me as believers. And this is how he looks at that. That worldly wealth is a proving ground of character. It's God's test of us in the things of the financial and the material, about whether we will be faithful in those that we might be entrusted with the true riches. It's in things as simple as tithes and offerings. You know, in the scripture, it talks about the tithe basically being 10% of our income. And that's to go into the church to support the work of the ministry and the kingdom of God. And then offerings are gifts that are given beyond that. And so part of what I'd like you to think through with me is, what would 10% of what you earn look like in terms of giving? You know, for some of you, you might say, well, I don't know what it would look like to pay my bills at the end of the month then, Father Joe, that kind of thing. And for others of you, it might change your planning in terms of the wealth that God has blessed you with. But one of the most important things that you and I need to at least be open to is the reality of God's call in our life to be faithful in our tithes and offerings unto him. And the tithe, 10% of our income, as we bring that before God and before his altar, it's an acknowledgement, first of all, that we want to support the kingdom of God, that we want to support the work of God's people upon the earth in bringing the wonderful news of Jesus Christ, in bringing the healing power of the Holy Spirit, and to bring the transformation of people's lives. And it's also an acknowledgement, as you and I give the gift of financial giving, that we believe that everything that we have is a gift from God. That every financial blessing, every relational blessing, every spiritual blessing, the gift of our next breath is a gift from God. And so again, as Jesus is saying here, in so many words, God knows us. God knows us. And he knew that one of the ultimate tests for you and me would be how we would handle wealth, how we would handle the material. You remember the disciples in Matthew 6, they were worried about what they would wear and what they would eat. They were itinerant on the road with Jesus, depending on the contributions of others. And Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field. They're here today and gone tomorrow, and yet your Father cares for them. And the birds of the air, will he not take care of you? And so you see, the invitation for us in this giving to God financially in all of our lives is an invitation to trust. It's an invitation to give to him in faith, in belief, and acknowledgement that all that we have is a gift from God, and indeed that it is. And that as you and I begin to give in that kind of way and exercise that kind of faith, we begin to demonstrate to God in a very tangible, unmistakable way that we believe Him. We believe His word to us. We believe we're supposed to honor Him in our tithes and offerings and give glory to Him. And God sees that, and as we begin to do that, God sees that we are ready to be entrusted with even greater riches, the true riches of the heavenly kingdom. Now, this is not to say that you're paying for it. This is not to say in any way that you've earned it or anything like that, but it's a test. Worldly wealth is a test about whether we really believe in the kingdom of God and whether we can really be trusted with the riches of the kingdom of God. And that's a very important test for you and I to pass, because we have to realize that it's the gift of touching souls. You see, for the little blind boy, he was sharing the greatest thing he could ever share. I'm guessing his mom or dad was in the park somewhere else. One day when they were in that park for the first time, he picked one of those weeds. He smelled the little flower on the end, and he took it to his mom. He said, "Oh, this is so beautiful. I'm so glad you gave this to me." Gave him a hug and a kiss, and guess what? He was off running. And he was out sharing those weeds with anybody he could find in the park, whoever he might hear, whoever he might stumble upon. That boy was in that park as much as he could, sharing the gift of his weed. You know what I meant. You guys are thinking about voting too much. Oh, we got a good group here today. We got a good group. So as he was sharing this gift, one of the things that you and I realize is that it wasn't so much the gift of the flower, was it, the weed? It was the gift of the Spirit with which he shared it that so deeply touched the people that were around him. Have you ever had the experience in your life where you've received a gift from someone and you could tell that they really didn't want to give it to you? Or maybe, just saying, or maybe it was begrudgingly, or maybe it really wasn't with sincerity or joy. Have you ever received something like that? I won't ask for a show of hands, because if you're alive, you probably have. It's not a good feeling, is it? It's almost as if, I wish you wouldn't have done that. And so we see that as we give this gift of giving unto the Lord, that the spirit in which we do it is so profoundly important. God loves a cheerful giver. And so one of the things I think that we need to look at here today is asking the Lord, if we're not already in that place, that the Lord might touch our hearts, that as we might give with joy, that we might give with blessing, that we might give with a sense of excitement, like that blind boy in the park. That as we give the gift of who we are, as we give the gift of our heart and time and talent and treasure, that we would give it with a sense of abundance, that we would give it with a sense of excitement, that we would give it with a sense of joyfulness. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And I believe one of the reasons why God loves a cheerful giver is because, first of all, God understands that the cheerful giver really gets it. That life really isn't so much about all that we can get and amass, but part of the beauty of life is in the giving. It's in the blessing. It's in the joy of that. And also, the other reality is God is a cheerful giver. You ever seen some of the sunsets here on the Gulf Coast? Each and every one of them unique, like a beautiful, unique painted picture. So beautiful, so abundant. And look at the rest of creation. Our God is an abundant giver. God not only blesses us, but he blesses us more and more and more. And why does God do that? Because that's who God is. God loves to bless. That's what God's all about. God loves to give. It's his joy. It's part of who he is. And it's meant to be a part of who we are. So in closing this stewardship series this month, first of all, I want to thank each one of you for your faithfulness in giving. I want to thank you for the giving of your heart and your time and your talent and your treasure. I want to give thanks for the way in which you have touched people's lives in this church and outside of it as well through that giving. And wherever you are in your giving, I would encourage you in this coming year to make another step forward in that giving and give more to the Lord if you aren't at that tithe yet, and to do so with a spirit of joy and faith, acknowledging that everything that you have is a gift from God. I'm grateful for your support of this ministry, not only within these walls of the church and on the campus, but in the community as well. Over the years, as we've looked at our outreach budget, it has steadily increased to where I believe we're at like 30 or 40% of what we receive is given out into the community and to the diocese. That's a wonderful percentage. That's incredible. And I pray that we would continue to grow in that area. And also the kingdom work of God in this moment. Beloved of God, we need to put our heart and our time and our talent and our treasure, we need to put our money where our mouth is and where our heart is, and especially support the kingdom work of God in this hour, that his light may break forth in this world in a mighty way. So God bless you. God bless you in every way, in every dimension of your life. I pray that for each one of you every day. And may God especially bless you more and more with the heavenly riches, with the riches that are out of this world. May he bring increase into your life in the fruits of the Spirit, like love and joy and peace, in the gifts of the Spirit, like healing and miracles, in the gifts of administration and leadership and hospitality. May God bless you so much, you're just going to be so blessed, you can't even believe how blessed you are. May you be that blessed. May you have that sense of abundance in your life. And would you pray for me as I pray for you, that whenever we give, you get to have the smile on your face that comes from the joy in your heart, that as you give your gift to that unsuspecting person, that as you give that gift to them, God would use you to open their eyes, to see their life in a way that's transformed, in a way that's new, and in a way that has Jesus with them the rest of their lives.